A physicist and a chemist walk into a bar. Or is it a physicist and a biologist? There's a reason science and comedy don't usually mingle, but to biologist and comedian Adam Rubin, the two are related in more ways than one. Rubin uses his insights from his PhD training and years working in a lab to write Experimental Error, a humor column for Science Careers. He spoke with Denisha Adams, who asked him about the relationship between science and comedy.
They're both vocations that require you to have ideas, to be creative and come up with things. And just like in science, you need to come up with the solution to some problem you're having in the lab or come up with a way that you need to analyze a certain set of data. In comedy, you need to come up with a certain way to tell a certain joke. And you can try things that don't work and see that they don't work and then go back and try them again. I think something that they have in common that people forget is that they're both serious pursuits. I think a common misperception of comedy is that it's not something serious. It's not a real field. It's sort of what you do if you fail at everything else. And so it doesn't deserve the same sort of respect that a field like science does. When I was at Johns Hopkins as a grad student, they had this program where grad students were allowed to propose courses to teach to undergrads called the Dean's Teaching Fellowship. And I really wanted to teach a class on stand-up comedy, the history of stand-up comedy and its impact on society. And I pitched this class, and I was eventually told by the committee that they would never accept this class because it just wasn't about a serious topic. And I think it's a shame to dismiss comedy. It's as serious as any other form of self-expression or social commentary. But science sort of already gets that little benefit of everyone hears science and they assume it's serious.
We know that you're a funny guy, but are you funny in the lab, or do you keep your scientist side separate from your comedian side?
I actually really do kind of keep the two separate.
Okay.
And that's mainly because I'm paranoid that if you try to be funny in the lab too much, people will use it as the ready excuse for anything that goes wrong in the lab. Oh, well, it's because he's focusing too much on trying to be funny. I had an experience in grad school where my advisor found out that I did stand-up on the side, and all of a sudden it kind of became the reason why my experiments weren't working. He said, oh, it's because your mind is not on science, it's on stand-up comedy. And it's like, well, you know, I'm really only performing like once a month at this point. My mind is not full-time on stand-up comedy. You know, I love the parts of conferences where scientists put joke slides in their presentations. It makes everyone awake a little bit more. It makes you realize a scientist is a human being. When I first started working at my current job at this biotech company, I didn't really tell anybody about doing stand-up. And it's partially because I was paranoid about not being perceived as a serious scientist, and partially because anyone who goes around and says, I do stand-up, they tend to be very annoying people and not fun people to hang around with.
Well, is it harder to be a comedian or a scientist?
I think you could make an argument both ways. I think you could say that it's harder to make a living as a comedian. I mean, to make a living as a scientist, it takes a long time to get there, but there is a set path that a lot of people follow. You go to school, you study science. You go to grad school, you study science. You come out, you get a job in science, and by the time you get that job, you've been doing lab work for years and years, and so whatever you're doing in the lab is not too foreign. But so few people make actual careers out of comedy. Right now, it's not something I could fully support myself doing. There's a comedian, a friend of mine named Herbie Gill in D.C., who just said this at a show I did with him recently, and I like the way he put it. He said, you know, people ask me if I'm successful as a comic, and I tell them, well, I make $300 an hour, but I only make about $5,000 a year. I think that kind of sums it up pretty well. For a lot of people doing comedy who've been doing it for a while but are not nationally known headliners, that's about where we are. That said, I find science to be harder than comedy. When you're looking at the thing that they have in common, which is that they both require solutions to problems creatively, there are so many ways to solve a problem in comedy. You've got this thing to look at, and there's so many funny things you can say about it, and it's kind of fun to sit down and think of funny things. But when you have a problem in the lab, it can take you years to think of the correct solution. You may never find the correct solution.
But you're not only a comedian. You found a way to put your humor into writing. Can you tell us a bit about your book, Surviving Your Stupid Decision to Go to Grad School?
I wrote the book in response to having gone to grad school for 7 years. And around my fifth or sixth year, I started feeling this stagnancy of just, wait a minute, I thought I was going to graduate in 5 years. It's this common thing that everybody has in grad school. I've been traveling around the country with my book and talking to grad students, and this is so universal that you spend your entire fifth year in the sciences getting a PhD telling everybody and believing it, that you're going to be done in 6 months. And then you spend your entire sixth year telling everybody that you're going to be done in 3 months. And then during your seventh year, you just tell everybody, shut up, stop asking me. I don't know when I'm graduating. They're not telling me. So there are a lot of things that frustrated me about grad school, and a lot of the normal things, the low pay, the long hours, the little respect, things like that. And I saw that there are so many humorous college guides, all these tongue-in-cheek guides to college, how to survive college, how to build a bong out of beer cans in your dorm room. But there's nothing like that for grad school. There were a few serious grad school guides, but the only grad school humor that there really was this great comic strip called PhD Comics that I think probably a lot of the listeners are familiar with, drawn by a guy named Jorge Cham, who does a terrific job drawing this very, very funny comic strip about life getting a PhD. But beyond that comic strip, there really wasn't anything else. So I decided I would write a book that was sort of a tongue-in-cheek guide to surviving grad school.
You also write a monthly column for Science Careers. Can you tell me a little bit about your current story?
Sure. So the column is called Experimental Error. It's a humor column in Science, which still blows my mind that Science would have a humor column and that I would be privileged enough to be able to write it. In fact, I think this is kind of my dream. If I went back in time and told myself a few years ago that I'd someday be writing a humor column in Science, I wouldn't believe it. In fact, I think the way I know that this is my dream is that I know that my nightmare would be opening up Science and finding a humor column written by someone else. This is a humor column I've been writing for almost 2 years now, and every month I have a new topic, a new column about something pertaining to science careers. This particular month, I'm writing about mainstream science publications, mainstream science writing, how you take a scientist and make them put their writing into mainstream terms. When I was at Johns Hopkins, I taught a class called Public Perception of Science, and students learned about the way that reporters took science and turned it into something understandable. So in this month's column, I'll be making fun of that. There are all these tricks that reporters use to sort of make science more interesting, but a lot of the tricks are overdone, or they're not as necessary as people think they are. Like, for example, whenever science is put into the mainstream media and there are units involved, there's some sort of measurement involved, the reporter always seems to feel the need to put the units in terms of something that we can understand. For example, the length of a football field. So they won't just say that it's about 5 inches long because they assume, oh, the reader won't know what 5 inches means. It's about the length of 20 of them on stacked end to end could reach to the moon, or 15 would fit in the period at the end of this sentence. And those are all the ones that they keep using over and over again. Length of a football field, distance from here to the moon, how many stretch end to end would circle the earth, how many times, how many fit on the head of a pin in the period at the end of a sentence. So making fun of things like that and offering sort of non-serious advice for people who are turning science into fun articles.
Throughout this interview, we've spoken about your comedic talents. So can we get a parting joke for our listeners?
When I first started doing stand-up on campus when I was an undergrad, I thought the best thing in the world that I could possibly do on stage would be to tell math puns. And it went okay because it was a campus full of other nerds, but then I got in the real world and started telling math puns, you know, on the comedy club at an open mic night at midnight in Baltimore, and people did not like it at all. You know, that different types of mouthwash have different amounts of alcohol in them. And I wanted to see how much alcohol was in the mouthwash that I used. So I looked, but it didn't list it on the label. I guess the proof was beyond the text of this scope. That is one of the nerdier jokes that you will ever hear.
Well, it was funny because I laughed.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Adam.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Adam Rubin, a regular contributor to the Science Careers website, spoke with Denisha Adams about his humor column, Experimental Error. The column, along with other career-related resources, can be found online at sciencecareers.sciencemag.org.